Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen, and I apologize for that interruption of our originally broadcast show. We had a little technical problem due to the duration of the show, so I had to recreate. And of course, I don't know if our show is even visible right now, Neil, which is not too good, but I'm trying to rectify that as we speak. Today, we're continuing our discussion on the jewelry to psychic ability. So if you're not joining us live now, you can catch this in the archives, obviously. But we started this conversation on Monday, so we're going to be continuing today. First, want to let everybody know how to get a hold of us. You may follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio, as well as joining us on Facebook, on Twitter, and calling 562-596-7818. Anyway, here we are.
Yes. Just discovering the threshold of psychic abilities.
Well, I don't think that's exactly the that's not the title, but yeah, essentially.
What's the
threshold,
title?
The doorway, the threshold. I think it's doorway. I mean, semantics, but yes. Beginning to ignite psychic ability. You know, I did want to talk about something quickly, Neil, before we get into the show. And I forgot to mention it on Monday, but it's regarding the light that was in the sky in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And there's a big debate over whether the government is lying to us that it wasn't actually a Trident missile, which it turns out, well, at least that's the government's explanation of the light in the sky that was seen all over the state of California, as far as Arizona. Actually, one of our friends on Facebook posted a picture, and she's in Arizona. So it was seen, you know, throughout several states in the United States. And, you know, it's actually kind of humorous to me, because your opinion, Neil, is that it was actually not a UFO, correct?
I don't think it was a UFO.
Right. And, you know, I wasn't someone who wanted to put much energy into extraterrestrial life or UFOs prior to meeting you, because I was actually kind of fearful of that whole phenomenon. And so I didn't want to put a lot of energy into it. Not that that would have prevented a connection to that type of energy, but I, you know, you get kind of scared of being abducted, so on and so forth. So I didn't really put a lot of energy into it. And I never had an experience where I saw an alien or a UFO in my life. But after being here for a certain amount of time, I started to see things in the sky that I don't think normal people are seeing. And, you know, the fact is there are UFOs. They're there. So, you know, whether the government's lying or telling the truth doesn't really apply to the specific case. There is extraterrestrial life that visits the mm-hmm. planet, and we're aware of it. We see it all the time. It doesn't look like that missile either.
No. I mean, I don't know what that was. I'm assuming
whatever.
It was a missile.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that was a UFO. A UFO is an unidentified flying object. Could it be an unidentified flying object?
Right.
Maybe
it is unidentified at the time of shooting through the air.
A spaceship from another planet or from another dimension. Now, I've had the privilege of having two unique encounters with UFOs. One was as a child, that was where I was taken up. And the other one was as a young man in my 20s, where I wasn't taken up and I ran from the thing. I didn't want to be taken up. But that, those it, in the UFO that both of them tracked me, both of them more or less darted across the sky at great speeds and hovered over the any element of land at any given time, and then it just darted quickly. One was close enough for me to see occupants inside of a saucer-shaped object. And one actually communicated to me and asked me if I wanted to be taken up, and I said no, and it continued to still compel me to go up, and I got in my car and drove away, and it continued to follow me. It wasn't a helicopter, it wasn't a plane, it wasn't anything like that. It was a flying saucer. And the other one was when I was a little boy that actually took me up when I was a small child. And at that time, I was actually taken to a hospital because I had a concussion in my head from having fallen during the abduction. And after that, I was drawing pictures of flying saucers and different creatures and developing a language that wasn't even of any language on the planet. And anyways, that was back in the 50s. And I remember distinctly the encounter,
Do you remember being in the spacecraft?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember the encounter and everything. And, you know, and as a child, I was traumatized by it. And ultimately had to go to, I was having nightmares and all kinds of things. But, you know, back in the 50s, we weren't really equipped to deal with things like that. There was the Barney and Betty Hill case, and a very gifted therapist, a psychologist there, but that wasn't my case. I wasn't under the best of hands, professionally speaking, with this kind of an encounter, and it just things got worse. But yeah, I had an encounter then, and I had an encounter in later in the 70s, later documented in a film where a lot of people in the Long Beach area and the Los Angeles area reported a UFO on the very night that it was tracking me. So that was pretty amazing. But again, a frightening energy. I've never seen it, you know, a thing that looked like more like a missile. It's not my experience of a UFO. So anyways, that's where that stood since you brought it up. It's an interesting topic. I mean, I think that there's life forms from other planets, and there's life forms from other dimensions and other time zones, and there's all kinds of, you know, wormholes and time tunnel things and all that where they travel through. Aside from the celestial kind of energy that can transport objects through space and time. But that's, I think, for another day. I don't believe that this object was a UFO. No way.
Okay, so we're getting into the doorway to psychic abilities, and simultaneously I'm talking to Blog Talk Radio about the fact that our show is not visible anywhere on site. We've had this issue a lot of times when using the Go Live Now feature, so hopefully we're going to be able to resolve it today. But, you know, this, again, is for the archives, Neil, so go ahead. And if we don't get any callers within 20 minutes or so, we'll wrap up today.
We don't have any callers?
Well, because we're not visible. And so what happened was I had to end the show. We'll explain it to you later.
Okay. It's in the archives.
It's in the archives. But unfortunately, people can't see our show now.
So we will bring it up. You will bring it up.
Later. I'm in the middle of it right now.
The doorway, the threshold. I like the threshold because it's a more dramatic. The doorway is intriguing because doorways usually lead to something. Threshold is more, it's more of an elusive term. A doorway is more concrete. Threshold is more abstract. And the threshold is actually more of a term that signifies the holding area between the worlds. One is a gateway, and the other one seems to be more of a holding area, like a decompression area. I think that there is an essence in terms of gaining psychic abilities and experiencing that in the so-called doorway, the doorway comes second to the threshold. The threshold is the preparation of gaining access to the psychic world, where the energy goes from body to soul, or body to the astral body, the physical body to the astral body. So you're actually in a position of getting your astral psychic abilities in charge of your physical body. And when you're in that process, you're in a threshold because you're converting the energies. You're about to make a great change to where your normal faculties are going to step aside, so to speak, and allow your psychic capacity, energies to predominate your consciousness. And in that element of time, whether it's an hour or a second, there's an energy field where there's an exchange of the guards of the body. Now, the doorway itself is when you actually proceed forward and enter the realm after you're prepared. And at that point in time, then we can maybe call it a doorway. But when we are just living our life and we're not consciously trying to tap into our psychic abilities, then certain phenomena occurs in our realm that is above and beyond the normal. For instance, when you know you're thinking about somebody and they call on the phone, and we're not talking about the randomness of life, the coincidence of
time. Right, when you're talking about connecting to someone's vibrational energy, and that's why you're perceiving them to be on the phone before you see who's calling. Yeah.
And it's beyond coincidence. I mean, we can assume some things are going to be coincidence. And as a psychic, I clearly can define, that's a coincidence. It's nothing. It's just random, it's coincidence. But then there's a vibration that sometimes occurs. And when we get to those vibrations, then we get into a very interesting aspect of the psychic realm, which includes such things as knowing somebody's going to call when they do, or getting a feel, when someone's telling you the truth and you get a feel, you get a vibration, an energy in your body that they're lying. The hair goes back on the end of you. You just know there's something, a gut feeling. Having a feeling that something bad is going to happen or something good, you just get this feeling. It's an intense feeling. You can't quite move it upward to your consciousness, so it stays kind of in your gut, in your emotional state. All this is part of being psychic. Feeling someone needs you. Someone needs to hear from you. And they're on your mind, and you call them. And they say, God, I was thinking about you. You know, having dreams that are prophetic. When we slip into deja vu, a lot of times that fades as we get older. But when we do have experiences with deja vu, that's a part of being psychic. Hearing things, sensing things around you. Can be a delusional, it can be imagination, but it can also be real. And that goes with hearing too. Touching something and getting a feeling. Shaking somebody's hand and getting a feeling. All these things are the more or less easy forms of being psychic. We don't really have to work hard to generate these, because they are already embedded in the DNA, if you will, of our soul. Our psychic abilities are part of our soul existence. So we have those, and how they activate and manifest into our physical realm is just a matter of definition in terms of how advanced we are or what the timing was or the energy field. But these things actually are vibrating around us at any given time of the day or night. I did an interesting reading today with someone who called, and ultimately what their real question was, I may be atheist, I may be agnostic, I don't know if I believe in the other side, I seek psychics for some kind of validation, and that's what I'm looking for. And the reading itself had a kind of vague energy field as to how to make that connection work for this particular person. And the validations that were coming in weren't significantly powerful or potent. And so how do you convince somebody that there is an other side when the immediate information is now outstandingly significant? Now, that's a question. And I, you know, I refer somewhat to the element of faith. Some of us have handy psychic abilities at our disposal. And then some of us are given information that's overwhelmingly psychic. But then there is that attitude as to how do you connect to the psychic realm and even understand the doorway to being psychic, more or less the doorway to another existence, if nothing's really coming through and one's belief pattern is so dormant in terms of that experience. I don't know. You know, it sometimes it's a matter of faith.
I apologize, Neil, that these rings keep coming in, but I'm actually chatting with Blog Talk Radio about the problems that we're having with the visibility of the show. So I'm trying to keep focused.
You're being paged by the jewelry department.
Amazing. That's right. No, I'm trying to see why, you know, we've had this problem so much in the past and Blog Talk Radio actually never addressed it with us.
And now they're doing it during the show?
Well, I'm having to email them during the show. Oh. I'm in chat with them. They happen to be available, which is uncommon as well.
So I'm glad you told me. I thought those were bells from heaven telling
and
you.
And if I press mute, unfortunately, because we're broadcasting through the computer, I can't press mute because people won't hear us then. So okay. The ringing has to happen. I have no way to silence that sound in my typing. I apologize. But anyway, back to you. You know, I'll be catching up with you here in a minute, but I'm trying to have two conversations at once, unfortunately.
Well, we have no guests.
My wonderful role is the technical, the responsible party for the technical issues just demands that I have to be present for this moment. Okay, go on.
So where was I? Like I said, it feels like I'm talking to myself.
You are.
And, I'm having a good time here. Well, for people in the archives, we're discussing how do you approach being psychic, and for those of you who are trying to experiment with this, if it isn't already a God-given talent and you're trying to feel the energy, there are certain things you can do. Number one, you got to learn breathing. I think breathing is a very good apparatus. Because the breathing, the proper breath activates the third eye. And my method of breathing involves only through the nostrils, not the mouth. The mouth remains closed. No opening up the mouth. You breathe into the nostril, the breath goes to the brain, the consciousness, the energy, the oxygen goes to the brain. You formulate in that consciousness the idea that you have a third eye and that the breath will wake it up. Like a shrugging, like a motion of energy that awakens the third eye, and that can activate the third eye to where the experience can be hallucinations or anything. That's one. And then you exhale through the nose. You don't do it deeply because it's a subtle. You know, we're talking about the subtle zones. That's what it's literally called. The subtle zones are outside of the body, so you don't activate that with a great deal of commotion or sound. You activate that through the motions of vibration, energy. So it's a very subtle approach to breathing, but it's still deeply concentrated, and it's formed in such a way that you're visually channeling it. You're watching it being the inhale, you're watching it, you're visualizing it going to the third eye, the sixth chakra. And you're trying to register the degree of the vibration so that you could look at something and see it morphing, changing, lights, everything changing in your energy field.
Well, I wanted to relay an experience I had yesterday, which, you know, what I'm talking about, I think. This is probably more, you know, beyond the threshold. I'm more in the hallway or in the residence than being at the doorway. But what happened was I came downstairs and Neil and I work at the kitchen table. We were working on the book. Neil's often in his chair at the kitchen table. And he was yesterday when I came down the stairs. No one was sitting in the chair. And I looked at the front door to see if it was unlocked, thinking he may have gone outside. And then continued down the stairs into the kitchen to the water kettle that I have on the counter. And when I turned around, Neil was actually in the chair, and I had my headphones on, and I took out my headphones. I have noise canceling headphones. So I wasn't, you know, aware of the sounds around me, but I definitely didn't see him in the chair. And I said, were you in the chair the whole time? Where did you go outside? And I mean, you looked planted in the chair. It didn't look like you had just come in. You were busy working. And you said no. So it was really strange because, according to your explanation, you were probably astral projecting at the time, and my third eye perceived you as being out of the chair completely.
Yeah. Well, I was astral projecting, yeah, probably.
No, I know, but I didn't know that when I, you know, I wasn't aware of that. I thought you were physically gone, and I actually did see that. I mean, it didn't take an opening of the third eye, so, you know, the third eye has been activated to a point where I'm starting to, perceive these things.
You know, I slipped a little LSD in your coffee, so that's a little bit.
Wow, too bad none of the fun occurred from that, just that moment, and then no good effect.
The idea, you know, when you astral project as much as I do, or as, you know, a lot of people do it, I do it quite often, and I do it in my conscious state. I'm always leaving my body, coming back. For the most part, when I leave my body, it might seem like I'm just kind of staring and looking. I'm conscious of the elements around me, but I'm not really in my body. I'm out of my body and I'm moving around, but my body is still there. It's still functional, and I've learned how to balance the journey of the astral through the astral travel from my astral body to my physical body, so the energies can kind of work together. And it took a little bit of practice to do that. But having said that, When you're opening up your third eye, isn't it true that your physical environment starts to vanish? You don't see your physical. Things start to disappear.
Right, that's really remarkable.
When I'm training people to open up their third eye at the beginning and they start to do it, they often say to me, well, I saw you disappear. You weren't there anymore. And then as I kept breathing, you reappeared, but you weren't who you were. You were an eagle. You were a wolf. You turned into an old man, something. You look like an angel. You
turned into an old man.
Yeah. The clock does that too. The idea, though, in that moment of time when you start to disappear, the body is gone. So there is an element that in the intensity of psychic energy when you're going into the astral realm, yes, indeed, there's the phenomena that your body disappears. But it doesn't normally happen to that degree. It's not that concrete and direct in energy, because your body is a solid, it's made up of molecules, it's hard to just make yourself disappear, but it can happen. I have no way of controlling my body disappearing, my physical body disappearing, so if it happens, it's involuntary, and I wouldn't know if I was literally disappeared. I can't,
disappear. Like you mean to me, where yeah. I perceive that it's not that you did it intentionally in a plan to disappear.
But you see, your experience, you seeing me disappear means that your third eye is more active than you think, because you may see me gone, and your physical eye may be registering that I'm not there when I really am, but really you have slipped temporarily into the astral realm. So it's a strange phenomena that when the more we start to educate and activate ourselves, third eye, the more it starts to transform to that element beyond our conscious attempts to get there. So it becomes a natural reflex almost. And when that happens, then the world around you starts to disappear. And guess what? You're out of your body And even though you're in your body, so to speak, your body is still alive on the planet. Your astral body is literally outside of your body, and you are seeing the world through the astral realm.
Right. And what's really exciting is that it's, you know, when it starts to the divisions of the astral realm start to occur without an active opening, that I'm not, you know, sitting there breathing into the third eye using the techniques that you suggest for preliminary activation of
right.
the sixth chakra.
It's very trippy. I mean, and I've never done any drugs or anything, but I don't need to. It's the element of the astral realm is amazing, and when you discover the secrets of getting in there, then you enter a world that's totally mystifying. And literally the physical world would disappear. You're not in the physical world anymore. You're in the astral realm.
Yes. You know, we do have a caller. We're not visible, but someone knows we have a show. So who's this? 805? Hello?
Yes. Hi.
Hi. Who's this?
Hi. My name is Beata.
I'm sorry. Can you say that again or spell it for us even would be better.
My name is Beata, B-E-A-T-A. And I'm calling from California.
Oh, hi, Deaga. Deaga?
Yes.
Okay. And your birth date, please.
11/22/1961.
Happy birthday coming up.
Thank you.
D-E-A-G-A?
Yeah.
Deaga?
Deaga. Deaga. Say it again for us.
D like boy, E like Eva, A like apple, T like Tom, A like apple.
B like Tom, Deada.
And she said B, so it starts with a B.
Wait,
B,
Deada.
Correct. You say
Deada. Sorry, I had it completely wrong.
B. So how do you spell it? B-E-A.
And what's your question?
I said for my spiritual path and my awakening process 4 years ago Christmas Eve, my husband died. He was, he's still the love of my life. So I was in the very dark place, and I started to ask myself many questions about life and death and love and the universe and the history of our planet. So this is the 4 year journey. And I feel lately I had a lot of negative energy coming out from my, maybe my previous life, or I had kind of like anxiety, like somebody was pushing me on my chest. Anyway, I feel lonely on my journey. In the community I live, people still are living in duality, which is good because everybody's on the different path of evolution, the own evolution. But I always ask myself question. I try to do the regression hypnosis after reading books of Dolores Cannon. I'm very resistant to the, to be on the deep hypnosis. Like something, like I feel like I'm cut from the source, like I cannot reach. Or something, or somebody is preventing me. One time, the last I was, I had the psychic reading, and she put me on the hypnosis. So she said that I will have important role in awakening of humanity. But I know everybody has the same, you know, important role because we are here at this moment. But I would like to know more about. My source, where I came from, or what is my job here.
Okay, Beata, do you have your husband's birthday just for our records? And then when did he die also?
21st of December 2010.
He died?
Correct. He had a major heart attack.
What's, I'm so sorry. What's his birth date? What was his birthday?
6/16/61.
Wow. Wow. Interesting. 7/13/23.
30.
Yeah. 30 equals 3. And he was 2010 minus 61. He was 49 when he died, so it was 19 years past his.
Yeah. Well, there isn't. There is a strong element of in numerology, Beata, there's a strong element of six going on in your energy fields. And let me explain something. You're born November 22nd. Now, November 22nd is obviously 2 + 2 + 1 + 1. That's a six. And you also have a six in your year. Now, your husband has three sixes in his birth date, his month, his day, and his year has a six. Mm-hmm. You have one solid six, but then a broken up six in your month and day. And the day that he died was 12/21, I'm hearing you say, and that's a six. Now, 12/21 occupies your month and day because, look, there's a 12 in there, the 1 and 2, and there's a 21. So the day that your husband died occupies the numbers in your month and day, 2 2s and 2 1s. You see that?
Yes.
And not only that, but the year that he died is 2010. Now, that 1 in the 2010 and the 6 in the year you were born is a 61, the same year you were born.
Yeah. The date he died was 12 what, Beata?
Was December 21st.
23rd.
Oh, 12/23rd?
Yeah, that's what I have.
Oh,
yes.
23rd.
Yes. It's not, yeah.
23. Ah, well,
yeah,
I can't go
with
that now. 5, 6, 7, 8. I can't, we have to
back up
the conversation. I got to back up and change because I thought it was 12/21, which,
my accent.
That's okay. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's okay. What it does occupy is it occupies a 1, 2, 2. Before we get to the 3, there's a 1, 2, 2. And there is a 1, 2, 2 in your birth date, Beata. You know, after the first one, we have a 1, 2, 2. So there is a significant zone, meaning that you had a past life with your husband, and the destiny factor of that included this death. Within the lifetime, prematurely, you were, you know, when your husband was 49, you're right now 54. Let's see, were you married for 8 to 10 years at least before the death?
We've been married 4 years before he died.
Four.
We've been together longer, but, you know, we've been together. We knew each other for 7 years. And
approximately.
So you knew each other for 7 years before he died, and you were married for 4?
Correct.
Yeah. See, that's 7 and 4. When you add those two numbers together, we get an 11, which is the month you were born. And what did I say? 8? Did I say 8
you
to 10?
You said 8 to 10. But
so
eight.
I'm close.
Yeah.
To the amount
yes.
of time
yes.
that you knew him, which included the marriage. So, and that zone goes, and he had a heart attack. I'm sorry?
Yes, yes. That's correct. Massive
heart attack.
Right.
So, and that element would be involved in, that heart attack that he had could have been correlated to his stomach. Did he ever have any stomach problems in his life?
Not what I know, Tess. He had asthma, but he was, poor healthy man. But I don't know.
The reason I mentioned go ahead.
Before the day before he died, we went to Christmas shopping. So I was having stomach pain, and I didn't know. I had very strange feeling. I didn't know where the feelings came from, but I had problem with my stomach.
Oh, you had the problem with your stomach. Well, that mm-hmm. okay, now that's making a little sense to me, because in my reading with you on the radio here, I'm getting a stomach connection somehow, something with the stomach. So it could be that if, in fact, I'm communicating with your husband or something, someone or something, there's that element of stomach going on. And you said that you had a very strange feeling or upset stomach right prior to his death. Did he just drop dead? Did he just fall, or did he die in his sleep?
I came from work. I took shower. So when I get from the shower, I went to his room, his office, and he was dead.
So he died basically in his room, in bed, or perhaps?
On the floor, yes. He collapsed on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was getting. I was feeling more like he did, his heart attack came and he fell. I was getting that sense that he had collapsed. So mm-hmm. when he said that he was just in his bed lying still, that wouldn't have connected to the feeling I was getting. I was getting more of a feeling that he collapsed. And is there at least one child involved between the two of you?
We did not have kids. He never had kids on his own. And I have two kids from my previous marriage. They are adults now.
Because there are children, but they're from the previous marriage. But there
so
are children.
You had two. So were those children ever involved in the household while you two were living together?
Yes, they were very close to my husband. And, at the time when we met, my kids already, they had own life. So they were coming to visit and, interact with us.
And did they have...
Hello? 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 I lost you. Hello?
I can't refresh right now for some reason. I'm going to try to bring us on. She dropped. She dropped. Maybe she'll try to come back.
Okay. So
all kinds of technical difficulties today.
We were in the midst of having a discussion with her regarding...
Right. And I think, moving in her past, but, she had some questions about her. Purpose on the planet, spiritual purpose, which is always nice.
Yeah, we haven't gotten
question.
To.
There she is. And she's back. So let's see. Can she hear us? Hi.
Hi, I'm back. We got disconnected.
Yes, we know. Okay, so go on.
So, Beata, did your children have children? Did they have babies?
Yes, my daughter just 2 months ago, she had a baby, Alice, 2.5 months ago. She was born on the 2nd of September.
Yeah. So is that the first baby that you're a grandmother to?
Yes.
Yeah. So there's some indication that your husband is reaching out, perhaps, or else I'm talking to a guide. But I get the feeling that I'm just not being, it's just not a psychic vibe I'm getting. I could be communicating with your husband. So that is one possibility at least to consider. As far as your purpose on the planet, your master number is 5. Now, for this 4, 5, 6, 16, your master number is 5, which makes you a very strong woman. I mean, I was discussing this with a client earlier today that a 5 is a very strong number for a woman. It gives them a certain physicality, certain strength. Do you work for yourself? Are you employed?
Yes, I'm a radiology technician, and I work in the clinic.
Yeah. So you're in medicine, more or less?
Yes.
Yeah, you see, that's an aggressively strong energy for a woman to enter medicine. As a technician, there's a certain calculation there that's important. So I get from you that, one, the vitality of you as a woman is in a high area, because whenever we have any human being that's involved in medicine, we're the soul is promoting the attitude of the welfare of life, the preservation mm-hmm. of life, and the maintenance of life. And so you're already categorized in a higher field of energy, if you will, that is conducive to higher consciousness, medicine. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have that, that's one of your purposes. And if there's nothing else to say, which there is more to say, but if there were nothing else to say, your purpose is to be of benefit to your fellow human beings, even in the capacity that you serve as a technician, reading energy. So that's a ground basis for a purpose. Now, to get into the energy of the soul and the spirit, though, on a personal level, well, obviously, you have children, so you came to give birth, and through you became more life emerged. And so we have the blessing of your children, your grandchild, and that becomes important as a
Hello. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please, you are now in the host queue.
Hello.
Hi, can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I can hear you.
So, Vida, you know, I mean, the purpose of your life is that there's a general concrete purpose to your life. So, because when we look at the fact of your profession and the fact that you're a mother, you gave birth, you're a grandmother, I mean, there is significant value and purpose to that. The higher energy of your purpose, the higher aspect of where you go from there is going to be creative. There's a certain journey of the soul that demands probably a deeper dialogue than I can give you. Do we have another call?
No.
Oh, then than I can give you. But there is a general spiritual attitude about your journey on the planet and why you're here and what you're supposed to wrap up. So it could be an element, you know, when we try to define what is our purpose on the planet, obviously there's a vacancy there in our consciousness. We should know what the purpose is on the planet. First of all, the purpose is you're grounded as a human being in existence. Secondly, how do you influence those around you? Does your life have influence on others? Do you help to benefit others? You know, of what purpose do you serve your fellow human beings? That's an attitude. And then ultimately, your connection to God. And to explain how much you produce on the planet while you're on the planet. So that involves your self-creativity. That involves your volunteer efforts. That involves everything that expresses you as a human being.
Yes, I am. Yeah, I had that feeling because I feel like I have my unique energy field, so it's always connected with love. Always, I send love to everybody. I try to, you know, I'm looking for love the whole my life, and it's always connected, you know, with the love energy, with just the, you know, universal energy. But I agree what you just said.
You know, the only thing that I might offer to share with you in terms of moving to a higher plane would be to keep a journal. A lot of women who are fives have the capacity to write, and I would encourage you to keep a journal, a spiritual journal, of your reflections, your the knowledge you've gained. Have you ever thought about doing that?
No, that's a good idea.
Well, why don't you try that, Vida? Because that would help to illuminate your consciousness on the page, to maybe give you some clearance as to what your journey is on the planet as you go into an internal structure of your mind and discover different attitudes that you can read back to yourself.
Uh-huh.
So that would be one aspect, you know, and you have to formulate some kind of legacy so that when you leave the planet finally, you have a good work behind you. But I think right now my suggestion would be to keep a journal.
Yes, it was interesting because yesterday I spoke with my coworker, and I kind of, they thought I had, during meditation, I kind of go back from my childhood, you know, see like on the movie in my life, and I release all negative, you know, experiences. And then I spoke to her yesterday, and I said, I feel like I want to do some things, you know, like, painters, they leave some behind, you know, or anything. Like, I feel like I'm the ordinary person, but I have the need of leaving some things, you know, some legacy before I move to, you know, move on to other existence.
Yeah. Well, that would be that's a good plan. So keeping a journal, anything in the visual arts, drawing, painting, opening up your third eye. These are all reading more about esoteric language and phenomena. All of these will help to elevate you to the higher form. And then having a higher spiritual connection to God, and that can also be involved in really reading religious texts. I mean, it's all sacred. And so there's a great expansive area for you to explore, I think, to help formulate your so-called purpose. But I think it's already activated as we speak.
Beata, just real quick, how did you find our show today? Because we're not visible on Blog Talk Radio except on our profile page. So how did you find us?
I did find you on Facebook because I'm a member of a few groups. So somebody posted a few times yesterday and today. I saw the post.
I posted the link to the show, but you know, the link is actually a dead link because I had to restart the show under a new show ID, unfortunately. So you were smart enough to actually dig a little deeper and find our page, obviously. So I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't via Blog Talk Radio that you found us, because sometimes what we see on our computer is different than what other people see. But we're really glad you did find the show. And you can follow us right here at Blog Talk Radio, and you can join us on Facebook, too. We do post events for the show, and you're always welcome to call. You're very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. 562-596-7818 is Neil's direct number. And before we close, Neil, because we did start late today, it's almost 11 o'clock, so we've got to wrap up. Any final thoughts for the show?
Well, the attitude of exploring our psychic being within our bodies is, I think, is never a never-ending journey. It can't be. The soul is too deep and existence is too vast to define it within one lifetime. That's why I think we keep coming back, and I think why our journeys can ultimately take us to dimensions beyond the Earth planet. But I think while we're here, we have to discover why we're here, what is our purpose? It's a good question. And then to begin to actualize how to transcend the planet, given the fact that this is just a temporarily abode, the body, and a temporary habitation, the earth. We're moving beyond. At some point, we will not be coming back. And to prepare for the journeys beyond our physical realm, once we do cross over, to never return to the earth again, I think is a whole new exploration that we can begin to study even as we live and breathe.
Well said. Okay, we are back on the air on Monday, Neil, and hopefully we will not have any issues with our broadcast. But we appreciate everybody listening today that was able to do so, and that we're able to do so. And to our caller, Beata, thank you so much. And we will talk to you on Monday. Bye-bye.